Are expectations ruining your jiu-jitsu journey? Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, a podcast about jiu-jitsu and so much more. I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt obsessed with jiu-jitsu.
And I'm Jennifer Risser, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt full of nonsense and tomfoolery. I am covering for Jen Eads, who is on a little bit of a sabbatical right now. So we're back for more nonsense.
Back for more nonsense. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Otherwise, I feel like I'm talking to myself.
Well,
I know there are listeners out there. There are people out there listening. I'm sure of it.
I mean, I live with her. She talks to herself all the time. It's not that different.
True, true. Okay, so we're talking about expectations and whether they are ruining your jiu-jitsu journey.
Yeah. So the idea for this topic came up from a lot of different conversations. You know, there's sort of the joke in jiu-jitsu that you're not just a jiu-jitsu coach, you're a therapist and a doctor and a nurse and, you know, a guidance counselor and a
janitor.
I was going to say a career coach. But yeah, you're kind of all the things, right? People come to you because you're a person that they trust in one way or another. And so you end up sort of having all these different conversations that are sometimes tied to jiu-jitsu and sometimes not. We get contacted a lot about, you know, sometimes people are struggling in their training. They're struggling at their gym. They've gone to a new gym and they're struggling. So we just thought, you know, since this is sort of a common theme we're seeing, that we should talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll start with, I have a friend out in California. She's a black belt and has been a black belt a little bit under a year, but is feeling burnout. But she still expects herself to be the same grappler she was at purple. So she thinks she should still be training 6 days a week and kind of has that feeling of like, if she's not, is she worthy of her black belt?
Ooh, that's tough.
Yeah. I was telling her, like, you're already a black belt. You've done that work. Like, you know, you don't have to train 6 days a week to keep it. Nobody's right. Taking it away from you.
So. Yeah, it's funny. You know, jiu-jitsu is such a long journey to get to black belt. And like as a white, blue, purple, I never had a moment where I thought I would quit jiu-jitsu. I mean, you know, those little tantrums of like, I'm bad at jiu-jitsu, I'm going to quit. But not any moments where I understood how people could quit, especially once they got a black belt. You know, it didn't make sense to me. I was so obsessed with jiu-jitsu. And now on the other side of it, I absolutely see how people quit jiu-jitsu or why people quit jiu-jitsu. Yeah. It's such a journey. You're such a different person, you know, over the spectrum of a decade, but also, you know, day to day or year to year, you know, you can't show up the same all the time.
Yeah. And I think in general, it's about giving yourself grace. So whatever the expectations are, just kind of trying to shed those and give yourself some grace that it's okay to, you know, want to focus on different hobbies a little bit. She could still train 2 days a week and have a nice time and not have to be doing it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, too. If you have, like, a family, you have kids or something like that, you know, unless they do jiu-jitsu, you're going to have to be doing other things sometimes, too. So I think that makes sense.
Yeah. What other times do you think we run into expectations of ourselves that hurt our journey?
I think the thing that led us to this conversation the most is, you know, observing our own students or observing people that we consider to be our students, right? Because we consider people from all sorts of gyms to be our students, whether they actually are or not, right? Yeah. If you come to camp regularly or anything like that, you know, you're a honorary student, right? So, but what we see is people being really hard on themselves. And, you know, the vast majority of people we interact with, they're not trying to be adult world champions, right? Like pretty much all of us were hobbyists. We're just trying to improve ourselves, improve our lives, and get better at jiu-jitsu. So I think what I see is just unfair expectations or maybe just unrealistic expectations of ourselves enrolling. And so, you know, AJ and I were both black belts. We're both, you know, on the other side of 30.
I'm on the other side of 40.
Right. And so, you know, as women, as people who are aging, you know, I think we have to sort of set our expectations, you know, be realistic on what we can expect from ourselves because, you know, you always say comparison is the thief of joy. Not like you invented that phrase, but I think it's a really helpful phrase. You know, as black belts, we're not always rolling with the brand new white belt that came in who thinks he knows all the jiu-jitsu in the history of the world because he's done backyard jiu-jitsu, right? Like that's not our role in the gym and it's not what we expect. And frankly, you know, even when we're pairing that person with students that we think can safely roll with them, we don't expect them to be putting the hurt on them or anything like that, right? Like, we expect that you're going to protect yourself. Protecting yourself is the most important thing by far, I think.
Yeah.
Now, that can come with a bruised ego sometimes, but, you know, you don't always have to be able to put the hurt on them, right? Protecting yourself should be your focus. So, you know, you might be giving up position to protect yourself. You know, you're not always looking to murder smash or tap that white belt 78 times in a 5-minute round.
Right. And for them, that might make them not want to come back.
Yeah, exactly. Different gyms handle new people differently, especially like the spazzy white belt. Our gym is sort of the gentle parenting type gym. It's not the type of gym that's like, oh, he beat up a woman, the mad enforcer is going to come beat him up. You know, it's more the, you know, we're going to have a conversation with him about his intensity. We're going to talk to him about, we're not going to let you work unless you calm down a little bit. And, you know, people just aren't going to want to roll with you, right? Yeah. So our gym is probably a lot different than a lot of gyms in that sense. But, you know, the specific people that we're talking about in this moment that or that made us think about wanting to do this podcast, they just expect so much from themselves. And it's like, you know, a good blue belt, like we've got some blue belts that are really, really good. They'll give me a hard time.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not working my A game, which why would I be working my A game with a blue belt? They're giving me a run for my money, yep. Right? They might be passing my guard, you know, like I'm going to protect myself, I'm going to escape or whatever, but they're going to put it on me, or they're able to if they want to, some of them,
yeah.
You know? And like once they're at purple, you know, those purple belts, they're good.
Yeah, they're going to come after you. But also, that doesn't mean that the purple belt doesn't get beat up by the white belt sometimes, right?
Oh, like, totally.
You have to take into account a lot of different things when you're rolling with people, you know, their size, their strength, you know, like you said, I'm closer to 50 than I am 40. And, you know, I can handle myself with the young 20-year-old men, but that doesn't mean that I expect to be able to every day.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. You know, there as you age, you're going to have some health things that don't always let you be 100%, and you can't really expect yourself to be. One of the conversations that led us into doing this topic, the other night in training, for some reason, I decided I was going to work something that I like literally never work. I've probably drilled it a couple times, but I was like, you know what? Today's my day. I'm going to be real good at this move. And I rolled with white and blue belts, and I didn't hit it on one of them. So, you know, I just think, you know, rank is made up, right? It's meant to show that you're progressing, that you have various fundamentals, or that you have a certain competency at a certain level. But it's not absolute, right? You don't lose your blue belt because you lost to a white belt. You don't lose your purple belt if you lost to a white belt. Framing training like you're winning or losing is the ultimate key to losing your love of jujitsu.
Yeah.
Right? Like you really can't. And sure, you might leave training feeling like, oh, I didn't hit anything today, I sucked. But you're truly learning in those moments where you're quote unquote losing. I don't think of it as losing personally. It's collecting data, right? But those are the moments that you really learn the most, I think.
Yeah. And I like to think of it as collecting data, whether that's from the, you know, in class standpoint or tournament standpoint. So we have another friend that contacted me recently that like wants to compete. She hasn't competed at her current belt. She hasn't competed in a very long time. And, you know, she went to her coach and was like, I really want to do this. And he was like, I don't think you should. Because like, basically, he didn't think she could get gold. And if she couldn't get gold, what was the point in doing it?
And she hadn't been like going to comp trainings or something like that.
Yeah. But, you know, the tournament she wants to do is still several weeks out. She still has lots of time to prepare. But for her, it was more about like getting over her anxiety about competing, which means you have to let go of like gold or nothing and manage your expectations for what you expect out of the tournament. But a lot of it is data collecting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not to put a date on this, but Euros was over the weekend and we saw some really incredible matches. I think everybody's been talking about the match between Sarah Galvo and Gabrielle Pisanha. That was an insane match. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. The amount of scrambling that happened, the amount of just like crazy transition that happened, that didn't happen because both of them were in the training room winning every day. Those types of scrambles happened because those women were putting themselves in bad positions, getting put in bad positions, and fighting out of them. You know, this isn't a Hyperfly podcast, but you know, Hyperfly's slogan is you can't teach heart. And I really think that that's true. You know, heart is built in the training room where you're, you know, quote unquote losing, you're in those bad positions, you're fighting out of them. You know, you don't have matches like that without really collecting data in the training room like that. I really firmly believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a wild match. And those women just did not have quit in them.
Exactly. Exactly. They did not have quit in them. And they learned that through not quitting again and again and again. I saw something really funny. There's a part of the match where Gabby has Sarah's like gi pants, and Sarah is fighting it by basically she's walking on her hands. So she's upside down doing hand walks basically. And I saw someone say, "All right, hand walks are validated as a warm up."
Oh no.
I can't even do the cartwheels in judo, much less hand walks. Somebody's doing them though.
So I know that it's about managing expectations, but when you feel like you're not doing enough or you're the nail constantly or whatever, like how do you manage those expectations? How do you turn that around?
I think it's a lot of self-talk, and it's maybe, you know, identifying your wins. We talk about in the context of competition, but we don't talk about it a lot in the context of the training room. You know, when you're training with the same people day in, day out, they learn your game. So yeah, your A game isn't going to work on them. Your B game might not work on them, but maybe you started to get a bite on your C game. Or maybe you had one brilliant transition that you've been working on. You know what I mean? It's those little moments. It's, well, I got to look at that. I didn't hit it, but I got it started, or I got to the position, or, you know, something like
that. Or I at least recognized that that was the moment.
Absolutely. That's probably the first step, is I recognized the opportunity for it, but I missed it.
Yep. So I know it can be hard. I know that, you know, sometimes you just feel like you're constantly getting beat up, especially when you have the same training partners day in and day out, because they do. They start to know your game. But being able to change your game up, or, you know, figure out what those small ones are, I think can be really important.
Agreed. Also, ask your training partners how they feel after a round. Hey, what did I do well? You know, what could I work on? If you're comfortable with that conversation. Because sometimes, like, when I'm training with Max, I'll be like, oh my gosh, you beat the crap out of me. And he'll be like, what do you mean? You beat the crap out of me. Right? And so I can feel like I got beat up, but that person might feel like they got beat up too. Or it might have been like a really close round. If you're not recording your rounds, you should. Yeah. Because you can probably see those moments that you don't remember. For me, I remember my rounds really well after the round. But some people absolutely don't. Like AJ probably couldn't tell you one move she did after she's finished rolling
yeah.
the way.
Yeah, I'll be like, how did I end up in that position? Pull the tape.
Yeah, so, you know, just record some of your matches. You can ask your coach. Frankly, you can ask AJ. Send her a video. She'll tell you what you did well. She'll help you celebrate your wins. If you can't celebrate your little wins, you're going to really struggle over time. You know, your first year or two of jiu-jitsu, the wins are easy. Once you're in the blue belt, I think the wins are harder, right? The journey from blue to purple is really hard. And then the journey above that, it's so self-guided, right? You, to an extent, you have to be, you know, working on your game plan, figuring out what you want to do. Maybe you're doing private lessons to help do tune-ups and that kind of thing. But, you know, if you don't have your head right, if you expect yourself to be beating people 100% of the time, you're just not going to last in jiu-jitsu. I just really don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same way if, like, you're doing jiu-jitsu for the belt, right? Like,
yeah,
you're not going to last. It's do it for the love of the sport. Do it for the things you can learn, those kinds, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the exchanges, right? You know, oh, nice. If you're able to have those moments in your roles, that may help too. You know, I'm not telling you to talk during your roles, because that can be really divisive depending on your gym, but a quick like, oh, nice, or after the round, oh, that sweep you hit, that was awesome. You could also ask your training partners how to beat their thing, right? Like, I tell people how to beat me or how to beat AJ all the time. They don't always listen, but I'm always happy to tell them. Someone has to beat you. You're a monster.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, the better they get at trying to beat me at my thing, the better I get at that thing, or I learn something else.
Yeah, absolutely. So to kind of wrap this topic up, try to set realistic expectations for yourself. You know, as a white and blue belt, purple, brown, and black belts probably seemed like wizards. Speaking from the place of a very new black belt, it's just time on the mat. It's not magic. It's not wizardry. It's how many rounds have you gotten in your time? It's how many times have you been in this position? It's just hard work and putting the time in. It's nothing magical. Maybe that's a bit of a letdown for people to hear. But at the same time, you know, that's kind of just how it is, right? I hope that that's heartening to hear, because that means you can do it too, right? Putting the time in, putting the work in, you'll get there.
That's one of my favorite things is like, if you keep doing it, we'll all be black belts together. Like,
yeah.
I just think that's a really cool thing. Like, just stay the course, you know, keep at it. We'll be black belts together.
Yeah, And if you're struggling, reach out to somebody. Tell a training partner. Tell your coach. Tell AJ. She would love to coach you back onto the mat.
Yes, I always have ideas for how to help you get through that. So you can reach me as AJ Klingerman everywhere you go.
Yeah. AJ's one of the best cheerleaders I've ever met. She really will help you through it if you need help.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you. All right. Well, speaking of Euros.
Yes.
I think we're going to announce our next instructor at camp, right?
Yeah. So if you're on any of our social media for the role model stuff, you may have already seen this announcement. But just in case you aren't, the two instructors we have announced so far for camp are Danielle Guevara, who's a black belt out of Third Coast in Texas. And we've recently just announced Beatrice Chin,
who got third at Euro. So yes. Congratulations to her.
Yeah. Yeah. We're very excited to have her. Well, both of them, of course. Danielle's been at role model camps for the last 10 years. She's been at every belt level. If you don't know Beatrice, she's the one with the whiteboard in the videos.
So she's at Baron Bozo, like Baron Bolo, but Bozo, which is hilarious.
Yeah. She's very funny. And if you saw my video announcing her, I'm trying to emulate her, which some of my students were very concerned about. They thought I wasn't okay.
So. Yeah, it took a couple takes for her to be that serious. So just know it took work. She put in the work.
Yeah, it's hard for me to be that stoic. I felt like I wasn't excited about Beatrice, but yeah. I am.
Yeah, we're very excited about Beatrice. So get registered. Come learn from her and Danielle. And we have 1 to 2 more announcements coming soon. We don't have contracts signed yet, but we have some big announcements coming up. Something to keep a radar on is our next gen track is 50% sold out. So what is that? Ages 8 to 14?
Yeah.
So we have a separate track for ages 8 to 14. They have their own training room, their own coaches. Their sessions are a little bit shorter. That way it's more tailored to them. So that session is 50% sold out. So if you have a next gen coming, get them registered. You can do just a down payment to save your spot. We do have scholarships, so contact AJ if you're interested in that. And also reminder that black belts do come to camp for free. So you can also contact AJ about that if you're interested in it.
And any black belts that register for camp, like if they want to go ahead and pay for it, we use that as a scholarship to help somebody who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford to come.
Yep, absolutely.
So we appreciate all our black belts that are still paying to come, and that helps us get other women on the mat.
Yeah. Thank you for supporting women's jiu-jitsu. We appreciate it. All right. What's coming up?
Well, we'll be leaving soon for Costa Rica.
I'm so ready. This ice storm can get out of here.
I know. I'm very excited. I'm ready to be in the warmth. So yeah, we've got a bunch of role models going down for camp in Costa Rica. Definitely pay attention to the role model Instagram and Facebook and everything, because I'm sure we will be posting a lot from Costa Rica.
What are the dates on that?
The dates are that 8th through the 13th, but you and I are going the 6th through the 15th.
All right. And if you just are sick of the snow too, I'm sure you could still get registered for that camp. If you want to meet up with us in Costa Rica, we'd love to have you.
Definitely. We also have Role Model Week coming up, which is April 20th through the 23rd. That's just a Monday through Thursday. And that weekend, we have our Passing Camp. So Passing Camp is the 24th through the 26th.
And Role Model Week is, it's a celebration in our gym because it's April is the anniversary of us being role model as a gym. But it's also a time that we welcome other people to come train with us. You know, it's sort of just, people always tell us they want to come train with us. So it's sort of a week we've set aside to say, hey, if you want to come train, come cross train. We had a few people come from out of state last year and it was really fun. And then it leads into Passing Camp. So we'd love to have you for whatever portion of that you'd like to come to.
Yeah.
And we didn't say this, but all registrations for these items can be done at rolemodelswanted.com. R-O-L-L.
Of course. Because we do jiu-jitsu. All right, great. Well, I think that wraps it up. Where can they find us?
Beauty and the Gi podcast.
Yes.
Is that right?
I think so.
Nailed it. I could be Jenny. It's kind of, but not a lot. I really can't. I'm so sorry, Jen. Don't be mad.
And I'm AJ Klingerman, everywhere you go.
So until next time, we'll see you
on the mat. Beauty and the Gi is a production of the Brassy Broadcasting Company.
And brought to you by Role Model Grappling.